Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
Let me just do it real quick.
Hey, welcome to the Jones Zone. Jake Dixon is our guest today. Jake is a professional baseball player turned real estate agent turned team leader turned productivity coach for Keller Williams. His clients participate in group and one-on-one sessions to increase their real estate skills and productivity. Jake, welcome to the Jones Zone, man.
Thank you, Jones brother. Ooh, my hands are all sweaty. Yeah, must mean I'm nervous.
Oh, yeah.
It's the rain, I swear. It's the rain.
So I gave a real quick brief introduction, but why don't you tell us a little bit about your personal story and how you got into real estate and how you became a coach, man.
Okay, so I know we don't have all day, but as much as I can, I'm from Illinois, very small town, from the sticks of Illinois. Got drafted to play baseball out of high school by the Oakland A's.
Jeez. How was that? So you got to tell us real quick, how was that? That's a major accomplishment.
It was interesting because that actually parlays into one of my defining moments in life, but we can maybe get there a different time. It was cool because I was from a town of 700 people. The whole high school had five small towns in the area merged together to form one high school, which had 200 students in the whole thing, 50 in my graduating class. So all that to say, we were a speck on the map, and a lot of people along the way would kind of laugh, you know, like any probably normal human being would when I would say, what do I want to do with life? I want to play professional baseball. And like, you're right. No, seriously, what do you want to do?
His town sounds like New Underwood, Chris.
Yeah, it might be.
South Dakota. We grew up
in
South Dakota.
Oh, well, then I'm sure it is.
And there's a small, tiny town.
Yeah. No stoplights.
We lived in Box Elder. Well, we lived on the base, but right outside Box Elder, which is a tiny town. And New Underwood was a lot smaller than Box Elder.
Yeah. Well, all that being said, I turned that down to take a full ride scholarship to play baseball in college down in Florida, and ended up getting drafted out of college my junior year as a pitcher out of high school as a hitter. So this time was as a pitcher. Ended up playing ball with the Angels. I had, I don't know if you can see that,
Tommy John.
So I had that my junior year of college. Came back through two good years with it, and retore it my first year in pro ball, and that's when I was done because I didn't want to go get a second surgery.
So are we talking single A, double A?
Single A. Yeah, it was my first year in pro ball.
Okay.
But all that being said, I got a real J-O-B after all of that. I was down in Florida at the time and decided to I had a staffing agency, nothing wrong with that, but it wasn't for me, so I did that for 7 months where I was a recruiter for a staffing agency. All that being said, I started to get the itch to get into real estate because it had always been of interest of mine. Some of my family had been in it before. And so I saw on the job boards, I think it was Career Builder to be exact, there was like a speed dating event. It was a speed hiring event for Lennar Homes in Jacksonville, Florida. And so I go to this thing, and there's tons of people there, but they had all the management at tables like this spread throughout this hotel room or conference room. And so you would go for 5 minutes and talk to each one. And I was one of five that got hired out of this event to be an on-site agent at a new construction home builder. So that's what got me into real estate. Did that for 3 years. Started to get tired of the corporate world there. It was very corporate and missing family. So I moved back home to start my own business, which was my first try at entrepreneurship. And I built from the ground up an indoor baseball training facility that I called the Player's Edge. So we had turf, batting cages. I gave lessons out of there in camps, clinics, video analysis, did it all for 3 years, and then started to get the itch to do real estate again, and that's what led me to Keller Williams.
Do you remember what kind of software you used for the
Man, you would ask me that. I don't remember off the top of my head.
It was a random question because I asked you because I was a – as a phys ed major at Winthrop.
Oh.
So we had to use this program to like break down kids' jump shots.
Yeah,
and whatever.
Yeah.
And for like the past year and a half, I could not think of the program, so it was a shot in the dark that maybe you could tell me what you used.
Probably not this one, if that's any. This one wasn't very high tech. It was budget effective.
Golly, what was that, Chris?
I don't know. How would I know?
I don't know. You're supposed to know these things.
So after the Player's Edge, you got into Keller Williams as a resale broker, I guess?
As an agent, a real estate agent. I was in what we call Ignite training at the time, and the owner of that office was teaching Ignite. And as she would put it, now looking back, she kind of observed my participation through Ignite, did some Facebook stalking to know about some of my prior business experience. And
In Florida at this time still?
No, I'm back home in the Quad Cities. Okay. Sorry. Davenport, Iowa, Moline, Rock Island, Illinois, Quad City area.
Okay.
And so from there, I got a call one weekend after putting my first home under contract. And it was the owner saying, Jake, I need to talk to you. I need you to come in. I'm like, oh, crap.
How bad did I mess this contract up?
I'm getting sued. What's going on here? So she's like, no, it's a good thing. Just come into my office Monday morning. So I did. And she proceeded to tell me about this team leader opportunity. I'm like, nah, I'm the new guy. I've sold one home. What are you talking about? And so we went through that process and ended up getting hired and did that for 2 years. Completely turned around the office. Grew it from 36 agents up to 85, somewhere in that ballpark, I think. And we were a small market. There was only 400 agents in the whole area, unlike here. So it was good growth, and they're tremendously profitable and everything now, and profit sharing. So it was all good. That afforded me the opportunity then to explore. I had always loved the Carolinas and connected with a lady named Leslie Williams, who I saw on Facebook just took the team leader position in Cary, North Carolina. And I reached out to her just saying, hey, you don't know me technically, but I follow you, and I'm doing some future pacing. I might have interest in moving to the Carolinas someday, so if any opportunities ever arise, let me know. And she wrote back pretty immediately saying, well, actually, we have opportunities now. And one thing led to another, and here I am having conversation with my wife about moving to North Carolina, and in a matter of a couple months, we were out. We were done. We were gone. Home sold in 5 days, and we were.
Where'd you meet her? Was she an Iowa girl, or
you would? I can go there on this thing.
Yeah.
All right. So her and I met through Match.com.
Oh, okay.
I
hear a lot of people.
We're a success story.
Yeah, man, dude.
That's my life goal, is to be on a Match.com TV commercial.
I can make that happen.
Let's make it happen.
I can.
Seriously.
Yeah. The internet's no joke these days. That's how people meet.
What was I gonna say?
I don't know.
I forgot. I was going to ask something important.
You said future pacing. Is that a real estate coach term?
Okay,
what is that?
I remembered. So there's a lesson here. There's a lesson for people who are listening. Don't be afraid to take action. You reached out. You took the initiative, and it paid dividends off.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
No doubt.
And if I may go back to something real quick from baseball, one of my other observations and ahas was you never know who's watching, and that applies to life and work and everything in general. You never know who's in the stands, so to speak, because it was between the summer year Legion ball, between my junior and senior years of high school. We were playing in Podunk, Illinois, Farmington, Illinois, to be exact, and there was a gentleman, there was a scout, the head coach of Bradley University in the stands, so I knew he was there looking at me potentially to go to college there. But there was also another guy with a straw hat, and I had no clue who he was. Ends up being, his name was Doug Horning. He was with the Major League Scouting Bureau. He was driving, saw lights on at a field. He was driving between seeing one kid up in Chicago area on his way to see another top-rated kid, and just pulled over. And I had the game of my life. I threw a complete game one-hitter, hit two home runs. That game went 4-for-4 or something like that. Had the right game in front of the right person. You never know who's watching. He comes, shook my hand, ended up, he's now in my family room doing all these crazy eye tests and stuff. And so what Major League Scouting Bureau scouts do is they scout for all 30 Major League teams. So he from there sent my name out to all the other teams.
Wow.
And from that day forward, every game my senior year of high school in little old Oneida, Illinois, there was no less than 8 to 10 scouts at every game. All from that one moment.
You
never know who's watching.
We had scouts in my little league team because I was.
Yeah. Brian went
13 game hitting streak.
Hit 13 game hitting streak. Yeah. He got a bunch of free hot dogs.
Is that with a wood bat? Probably. You're one of those kids in the league with a wood bat.
Chris had a batting average of like was it? .97?
I could not hit to save my life.
He could pitch. He was a good pitcher.
Yeah, probably good enough ball.
His sport was basketball. He's a good quarterback in football.
I could not hit a baseball. It was embarrassing,
really. It was really embarrassing.
I will admit it.
I am, the younger brother, making all-star teams, and I have an older brother who I'm supposed to look up to. He can't hit the broadside of a homer. It was embarrassing.
So, here you are. You take over the team leader spot. What happened after that?
Yeah, man. So, after that, down in Cary is actually what it was. I just had a realization after being team leader in a couple different market centers now for 3 years. Is this really what I want to do? And it all started when I went to an event called Family Reunion with Keller Williams that I attended a couple breakout sessions regarding this productivity coaching role. And it really spoke to me and made me look at what do I want to do? Where's my passion lie? And I self-discovered it lies with helping the individual agent grow their business, meet their goals. And I haven't looked back since then. I had a conversation with our owner and she understood, didn't want to get in the way of what I felt was my calling. And one thing led to another. That opportunity was not available for me in Cary, if anybody's wondering. So therefore, I got her permission to look elsewhere, and I had always looked up to the leadership team here in Fort Mill, and Shelby and I connected, and here we are.
They do amazing.
How is the structure of a brokerage? Because you're throwing around agents, team leaders, owners, productivity coaches. Yeah. What does the structure of a brokerage look like in terms of...
Yeah, so basically in our world, like if you think a traditional business, the team leader is like the CEO of that office, CEO of that company.
Okay.
And since Keller Williams is a franchise, it's the CEO of that real estate business, basically, versus a broker in charge, BIC, whatever, is kind of the person responsible for everybody's licenses, and if somebody gets in trouble or whatever, they handle those disputes. So my job primarily was to grow the business, meaning recruit talented agents into our office, and that is different from a coach, which is more about helping the agents who are already there grow their real estate businesses. So I'm focused on helping them build their businesses instead of the market center or the office as a whole.
So a productivity coach, what does that entail? I mean, who hires you and what's the program look like? I mean, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I run my business no different than individual agent or team would run theirs, where we're both independent contractors, right? We're the CEOs of our own respective businesses. So I guess to answer your question of who hires me is the individual agent, the way I see it. No different than a homeowner or a buyer hires you as a realtor to represent them. It's no different for me. An individual agent says, hey, look, I need help in this area or am serious about taking my business from A to Z. Help me get there. Therefore, I can hopefully fill in some of those gaps and help them chart that course versus them kind of just trying to figure it out on their own.
And then what's the program look like? I mean, what's the curriculum? Is, you know, I doubt you hand out a syllabus per se, but what does it look like? What could someone expect if they were interested in having a coach?
So, well, I can't speak for others, but how I do mine is, and at the end of the day, I'd love to spend every day with every person if I could. It's just not scalable to that effect. So one thing I definitely pride ourselves in doing is not putting everybody in a box. I think we've done a really good job treating the individual like an individual, right? Because you have different strengths than the next person, and I want to embrace that and turn up the volume on who you are and craft your entire business plan around that, not try to force you to be somebody you're not. So some coaches, you know, not to be overly critical, but I think they try and get too systematic, overcomplicate it too much instead of just taking who you are. And let's maximize that. So the nuts and bolts, I do one-on-one coaching sessions with realtors. There's group coaching sessions. We do book clubs, masterminds, agent panels and interviews, much like this, you know, with people, because success leaves clues. And why reinvent the wheel when there's other people who have gone before you?
Right.
How are you leveraging your experience as a team?
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Gosh, I was just getting ready to...
go ahead.
I wasn't going to say
this
anything,
is the Chris Jones zone.
Sorry.
Go ahead and ask your question.
I'm just engaged.
Well. What's the best advice you give new agents?
Ooh, that's a good question.
All right.
That's the question of the day. Insert Brian.
All right.
You know what? There's so many levels that I could answer that question on. The first one is from a fundamental mechanical standpoint, focus on your database. Why would you even dare which is what most people cringe when they think of the words lead generate or prospect. Why would you even dare call cold calling anybody? It's 2017, there's a million and one ways to lead gen.
And there's 70% of that, like, what is it, 70% of people would use their realtors again? Or is that a number higher?
No, it's 88%.
88% would use their agents again if they follow through, if the agents would follow through. And basically it's like, why are you committing all this time to work with strangers when you got a whole army of people who would love to do business with you again?
That's
so it's like focusing on the right lead generation,
Go for the low-hanging fruit, the people who already know you, like you, and trust you, and you can use social media, use your cell phone, I mean, text people, whatever. I don't care about that. But that's where I would advise them to start. And then second to that is stay engaged. Yeah. And Chris has heard me say this a lot, but the two evils in life, I believe, are boredom and isolation. Boredom is impossible if you're actually showing up and doing work as a realtor. Every day is different. Every unique client is different. Isolation, though, scares the pants off of me, and I try to prepare my clients for that because it comes in a lot of forms. Number one, they get burnt out or don't see fast results that they thought they were going to see, so all of a sudden they try and drift away from the pack and become disengaged, and then a lot of times they end up quitting. It can also happen, though, through success. So now that some person's got some success and they're closing homes, servicing their clients, whatever, they just go off the grid. It's like, where did that person go?
Kind of get apathetic, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you find that it's common that people do that? I mean, especially new agents? I mean, especially with Keller Williams, because they go through Ignite, so they come every day. And then when they leave there, if they're not in your coaching program, do they tend to just kind of drift off, you think?
Or? My observation, trying to be non-biased here, my observation is what happens after their whatever company somebody's with, whether it's Keller Williams or not, they have some sort of new agent training usually. From there, my experience has been they feel like they're drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
And they become paralyzed, whether it's just because so much information has been received and they just don't know the first step of implementation, which is the important part. You got to implement. So it could be that, or they just overanalyze it. What is that? The paralysis by analysis kind of thing.
Yeah.
So either way, they just get stuck. You know. And our job is to get them out of that rut into activity. And whoever smarter than any of us in this room, Isaac Newton or somebody, said one of his laws is an object in motion stays in motion. Well, a realtor coming out of school, brand new realtor, they're excited. And I want to keep that object in motion. And by getting into coaching, it's the best bet to do that instead of trying to do it on your own.
What advice do you have? Because it takes a while to get that ball rolling. You know, you get into this business and you could expect months sometimes without your first paycheck. I mean, how do you keep those folks inspired and encouraged to keep going?
Yeah, that's a good question. And again, you've heard me say this a lot. I'm a broken record when it comes to this. I firmly believe, just like air and gravity, there's all these laws and principles to the universe, right? In life.
Law of attraction. Secret?
You better believe it, baby.
Brian was on the secret kick for a while. It's good.
Yeah.
You read it, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm the one that turned you on to it.
No, you didn't.
Sure. No, probably not. Anyway, so one of my business laws I live by is the 90-day principle, right? What I do today, if it's May 1st, is not going to show up until June, July, August 1st. Roughly, okay? And if we live by that principle, I'm not suggesting you can't, you know, earn some income or do things between now and then. But as a general rule, and I've tested it, what I do today shows up in 90 days. And I need agents to understand that when they are first starting out through coaching, is we're going to focus on what we can control, which are the leading measures. Any of you math majors out there, it's leading indicators, leading measures, which lead to the lagging measures, which is the result. So we're going to focus on that front end, those first 60, 90 days, on the activities, the actions, which we know are going to lead to the results. If all I'm doing, though, is focusing on results, I'm going to get burnout. My little drunk monkey, thing on your shoulder starts talking that I'm no good. This isn't for me. I'm not cut out for it. Whatever. We're going to find the little successes until you get that first closing.
Is there anything that you like to focus on that helps people with the mental aspect of it? Because I'm sure you can give a bunch of practical advice in terms of real estate business, but do you tailor your program to help with someone's mental attitude at all? Or
I do. I'm huge into personal growth and development, so I'm always good. In fact, in my office I have a productivity coaching library where agents can even check out books and audio tapes or whatever. But it all starts with mindset and getting in that right place. So if you're not plugging into things like personal growth, I don't think it's possible for me to motivate somebody. You know, you've heard that a lot. I can inspire, I can encourage, mm-hmm. I can help you self-discover. Motivation comes from within. And my way of getting a person motivated is always circling it back to their big why. Why is that their why? And what gets them out of bed? You know, what are they really focused on? Why are they doing what they're doing? The blood, sweat, and tears of this business. It is challenging. Mm-hmm. What's it all for? And getting some serious clarity around that, because until we have that defined, we're just going to talk in circles.
Yeah.
So.
What challenges do you face as a productivity coach?
That's an awesome question. And my response is actually pretty simple, because I've thought a lot about this. My biggest challenge that nobody prepared me for, or probably could have prepared me for, is, and this isn't to sound cheesy, but it's, I care too much. I know that sounds weird. I don't know when to let go. I cannot give up on somebody. And that may be backwards, but nobody could prepare me for how much I care for the individual agent's success and me, how I take that home with me and I wear my heart on my sleeve to seriously care about their business. And when things aren't going their way, you feel for them. But the interesting thing, part of that is, it comes down to a care and candor conversation. It's because I care about you so much that I'm willing to have this conversation, even though it's tough love. I'm not afraid of it because I care that deeply about you. I care more about you than I care about our relationship even, that I'm willing to say those things that maybe your best friend or somebody who claims to be that wouldn't have said.
Yeah.
So it's not avoiding the discomfort.
Yeah.
So where do you draw some of your inspiration and motivation to keep going? So you're giving and giving and giving. How do you fill your tank? I mean, are there certain things that you do day to day, like daily affirmations or journaling and things like that, that kind of help you?
All that above. And I take the advice I try and give others. I constantly listening to audiobooks, personal growth and development things in my car. I don't have the radio on. I'm feeding my mind every drive.
Same here.
Into work and away from work. Leaving here today, I'll do the same thing. Constantly doing that. A lot of that fulfillment and what keeps me going is seeing y'all keep going and achieving your goals, because your business is my business. Your big why becomes my big why. And that for me is enough. But even so, like, the thought of, I use this a lot. What would I have two girls, Ava and Adeline, they're 3 and 2. If there was a camera up in that corner of daddy's office and they could watch from home what I'm doing all day, every day, would they be proud? Yeah. Am I modeling the behavior that I want to set for them someday? And that to me, it drives me like crazy, because I put myself in that place of, what the heck am I doing? I can make excuses or I can find the solutions, and they're dependent on me.
So, talk a lot about personal growth. Who are your go-to guys?
Mm-hmm. So, I am a geek nerd when it comes to Andy Andrews, who's the author of The Traveler's Gift, among other books. But Andy Andrews, man, it just speaks to me. I'm not sure what it is.
I haven't heard of it. I'm
familiar with him either.
The Traveler's Gift.
I remember the name of that book, The Traveler's Gift.
There's an extension of that called The Seven Decisions, The Noticer, several books that he's written, but Andy Andrews is awesome. Tony Robbins, you gotta go, Tony Robbins. I mean, John Maxwell, you can't go wrong. I love Grant Cardone, who's authors the 10X Rule.
Your Uncle G.
I like him. I'm not hugely sold on him. I don't know what
he's in your face. He can be a little much and arrogant at times, but I like how he just calls it for what it is.
I like Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, they're similar styles, I think, anyway. But
I think Gary V is on another level, in my opinion. But
he's good.
And one of the, if I can add to this, is what drives me. Every person, I believe, has defining moments in their life. And one of mine is, I wear a chip on my shoulder constantly. Sometimes I have to even create it in my own mind that I have these, like, nemesis, enemies and stuff.
I know, I do the same thing.
I love to prove people wrong. And I think that stems from the upbringing. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, could be. For me, one of my defining moments was my sophomore year of high school. And my high school coach, it was a playoff game. It was a Midwest storm. It was second inning blowing through. So the umpires ended up postponing the game. And our coach was really upset. You've heard me share this before. Really upset. And telling us to get the equipment inside and hurry up, hurry up. And he was just, I don't know, he was pissed at the world that day. And can I say that on here?
Yeah. I heard the story too.
But yeah, you were in there. Yeah. So anyway, long story short, we get back in the gym and he's ranting and raving and pointing fingers at everybody. And it finally got to me and he had his finger right in my face and he said, "None of you will ever see the inside of a college or pro stadium unless you buy a ticket."
Oof.
And I'm like, holy moly, there was a bomb dropped. And I had two options, which was option A, believe him and say, yeah, you know what, we're a speck on the map, you're probably right. Or option B would have been, obviously, to prove him wrong and use that as motivation. So ever since then, that was ingrained inside of me. And I've told you all, it lit the flame to never be that person to somebody else. To always be the breath of hope and refreshing person that says, I believe in you. And sometimes those are the words that all of us need to hear, is just, Chris, I believe in you, man.
Yeah.
Brian, I believe in you.
That's an interesting story because back in 2010, I was helping the assistant coach of Fort Mill High School varsity basketball team. And I remember in the locker room, the coach was so mad at these players, and he said the same thing to his players. He's like, none of y'all are going to play D1 ball, so why are y'all? It was really weird to see. But one of those kids on that team actually is on Clemson. He was a walk-on on Clemson, so I wonder if he lit a fire under him. But
yeah, I mean, at times of like that, you don't realize it as it's happening.
Yeah.
But looking back, I'm very grateful that that happened. So
yeah, we got this crazy rain.
Yeah, you can hear it, man. I don't know. Hopefully, it sounds good. It's pouring down.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. So going back to Tony Robbins, have you checked out his documentary, I'm Not Your Guru?
I have not. Have you?
Oh, man. Oh, have I? Not this
Brian,
week.
You watch it every night, don't you?
Yeah, actually, I've shown my father-in-law. It is amazing how he just has this, I don't want to say innate. It's not innate because he actually worked hard at it, but he has this ability to captivate thousands of people at one time and actually change their lives. But it's very emotional. It's a great documentary. I highly suggest you check it out.
I will. I've heard good things about that, yeah.
He also has a new book called Unshakable, which is about investing and stuff, but
yeah. Yeah, that's over my head.
That's over my head, too.
Something about ROTH era.
ROTH thing.
You ever heard of it? You ever heard of those?
Go ahead.
Are your services just exclusive to Keller Williams Fort Mill, or can you do other agents?
Great question. As it stands right now, yes, I'm bound to we call them a market center, but it's the office that I'm in and any agents inside of that. So I am working on plans for expansion, meaning taking our systems and models that we've developed through the coaching at Fort Mill and expanding that into other Keller Williams offices just at different locations.
Awesome.
Hey, do you meditate?
I don't. And I should. I don't. I 100% believe in visualization and that quiet time. And you had asked earlier about journaling. One of the things I do, not necessarily business related, but I journal to my girls. And so I'm creating a journal, just a documentary really of their life growing up.
Wow.
And I'll give that to them either when they graduate high school or college or something like that. But I don't do meditation, and I probably should, and I'm interested in that. So
I float. You know what that is? The isolation tank?
I know what levitation is, but
I don't float in the air. I float in water. So it's a hydro... And we did an earlier podcast on it and everything. But yeah, it's a great meditation. You lay in this tank full of salt water.
Yeah.
It's like 10 inches... You go in this chamber and it's like 10 inches of water. 1,200 pounds of Epsom salt. So your body is floating. Great for like stress, knee joints, issues, whatever, blood pressure, anxiety. A lot of soldiers with post-traumatic stress... studies show that floating, I think once a week, twice a week, dramatically reduces their stress hormones or whatever. But I floated a couple weeks ago, and within 10 minutes I was in what's called a theta state, which is like, when you're really about to fall asleep and when you start to visualize things.
Yep.
That's a very calming place. That's very relaxing. So imagine being in there for like 45 minutes in that state, fully aware of what's going on, but just at a peace.
So is there is there like a learning curve for that to get? Because I think a lot of people struggle when they just sit in silence.
Yes.
They can't get themselves to that place.
Yes.
They just start
it takes
thinking
practice.
About the weather.
Okay. So it's taken me, I've floated probably like 10 or 12 times now. And within the, I think it was like the fifth time, you know, it just takes off.
The first couple times for you were pretty miserable. You didn't like
it. Yeah, very.
I loved it, man. Yeah. I got in the first time. I've only done it once, but I loved it instantly. I was just like, eh.
Well, it's a, yeah, but once your brain, because your brain, once it calms down,
yeah,
it usually takes about 10 minutes with practice, and then, like, the rest of the hour, you're just like...
I can see where the coming, is
yeah, you they have to play tones for me to wake up to kind of, like, all right, get up. Okay.
Wow.
What time?
Well, it's supposed to be like a 4 hour. It feels like 1 hour in there is equal to 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, actually, you do it's like right. Six. Yeah.
NFL players do it all the time. Some of the Panthers go in there and do it. So it's pretty interesting.
You guys are so worldly. You just taught me something.
Yeah, there's a place called Boyance in Huntersville. Yeah. Definitely check it out.
Well, I remember your other podcast with another, I believe, a life coach or something
like that. Oh, yeah, we talk about it all the time.
I'm obsessed. Brian loves it. I love it.
I'm a huge fan of the Jones Zone.
Thanks.
Insert, thank you. Insert shameless plug here.
Yeah.
I do follow you guys.
All right, let's get into the question of the day. Brian, what is it?
Jake, being a baseball guy, the movie The Sandlot, we've all seen it. Who's your favorite character?
Whew. Am I allowed to say Wendy? Or no, that doesn't count.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely say Wendy.
No. I'm going to say on the field. We're going to go with Squints on this one.
Squints.
The man.
I got to go with... why Squints, by the way?
Man, if you can do... Wendy
Peppercorn. Wendy freaking Peppercorn.
Yeah, he's got game on
the field. Every summer I come to this pool, and every summer there she is.
He's my hero, man.
Yeah. Really?
I think we all
got game. Squints. He's got game.
You know, so, he was the dude on
Freaks and Geeks. Yeah. He's been on a couple different things. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Brian?
Favorite? I gotta go with the Jet, man.
Ooh,
Benny the Jet.
Rodriguez. No. My favorite character, I'm going to throw you guys
don't for a steal mine.
The
bad guy.
Yes!
Yeah.
The bully kids from the other team.
We play with real... He's like, you pretty easy when you play with a bunch of rejects and fat kids, eh?
I love it.
You shut your mouth. What's that kid's name, you know?
You play ball like a girl.
I don't know. I don't know.
Probably bad bully kid. Or bad
bully. Bully number one. Yeah, he was one of my favorites for sure, man. Let's see. Great. What a great movie. All right, man. How can people get in touch with you, Jake?
Oh, my goodness. Let's go with email and Facebook. So email, first and last name, Jake Dixon, JakeDixon, at KW.com, or obviously look me up on Facebook. I've got a personal page as well as a business page for the coaching.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for stopping by the Zone.
Yeah.
Appreciate
thank you, guys.
It, see you later, man.
Later.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.